All right, everybody. Good to see you. We're glad that everybody's okay. As far as I know, we're still staying huddled in our homes due to this coronavirus pandemic, they say. I'm hoping and praying that soon we'll be able to meet church capacity here at the church. I mean, of course, we know there will be some guidelines we got to go by, safety, and we'll make those announcements when we know what they are and what we need to do. But it's good to be here. It's good to share a portion of God's word. I want to encourage you, and I want to speak God's truth to you this morning. And above all, if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, this will be the day they give their heart to Christ. Remember those it's our duty to pray for. Remember our missionaries on the field, our pastors. You know, this is a trying time for pastors. Being one, I know how stressful it can be because you're worried about your people, your flock. And just pray for them as we're there trying to encourage our people, encourage ourselves in the Word of God and with the Lord. And pray for those. Pray for those that you know that are in the body that are sick and afflicted. To my knowledge, there's not too many. I know that Sister Doris, a little lady that visits with us that's from New Zealand, she's got an issue with her lungs. Praise God, it's not cancer or anything like that, but we want to lift her up as she goes through this. Again, just lift up those it's our duty to pray for. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This isn't my text, but it'll go along with my text. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 this morning. But I just want to read a couple things that kind of goes along with the message this morning. I want to speak to you about God's compassionate call to His promised people. And I'm thankful for His call. Amen. How about you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says this in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and of course that rock was Christ. But with many of them," I want y'all to get this, "but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Verse 6. "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." In verse 11, "Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And then verse 12 is a warning, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So we have an example, children of Israel and their relationship with the Lord. At times they were on fire for God. At times they served God faithfully. They worshiped Him and His Word. They assembled in the tabernacle. And they did all of those things that were pleasing in His sight. But then at other times, they decided to forsake Him. And beloved, it's a dangerous thing when we forsake the Lord. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. This will be our text. Jeremiah chapter 2. Excuse me. Jeremiah chapter 2. beginning with verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. And all that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? And of course we know that word vain means useless, means of no value. Neither said they, verse 6, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadows of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I praise you, and I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Pray, Lord, you'll give me the words to say. Lay on my heart those things I've studied. Lay on my mind, bring to remembrance those things I've studied so that I might present the gospel in a manner that brings honor and glory to you. And Lord, I pray that I'll just speak those things that you would have me to speak. And let me preach with boldness and authority your truth this morning. Father, may your people be encouraged in your word. And Lord, I pray also that you would just allow your spirit to convict those that might be under the sound of my voice that doesn't have a personal relationship with your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your spirit bring them to conviction. And Lord, may they see the need and be convinced to trust Jesus before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we thank you for Lone Mountain. We thank you for this body here. Continue to watch over and protect us from this virus. Pray, Lord, you'll be with our sick and our afflicted. Touch them, restore them to their health. And again, may everything that's said and done here this morning glorify you. I love you and I praise you. Thank you for my salvation and the assurance. Give me of my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want us to look at verse 13 real quick, and then we'll get into the message. But notice he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Now that word forsaken in the Hebrew, the word is called asab. And what that word means is to omit or to abandon. And he said they've committed two evils. They have abandoned. They have forsaken me. They have omitted me from their lives. And beloved, if ever was a problem today with the church, is we have forsaken the Lord God. We sit there and we wonder, why are we going through what we're going through? Well, why wouldn't we go through what we are going through with this pandemic? Because God's trying to get our attention, beloved. God's trying to have us open our eyes. We as a nation, founded upon God and His Word, we as a nation have forsaken the Lord. And we've forsaken Him for a long time. And beloved, now we are facing the consequences. Now, as they say, the chickens have come home to roost. So they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Who is the source of living water? The Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says. And they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You see, cisterns used to be dug into the earth, and they were placed there to catch rainwater and overflow from rain. And now those cisterns are broken. They can't even hold the dirty water that runs into them. So with that said, let's go back to verse 1 and we'll get started. And again, the setting is very early in the ministry of Jeremiah. He's called to be a prophet of God to the nation of Israel. It's been about 800 years since the Exodus into the Promised Land from Egypt. And during that time, Israel has faced many ups and downs spiritually. There have been times of revival and renewal, as well as times of rebellion and outright rejection of the Lord. Kind of sounds like the Lord's church today, huh? However, there was a constant throughout all of this, the love of God for His people. Let me ask you, beloved, are you thankful that God loves you? Oh, I tell you what, I pinch myself that God would love a wretch like me. There's a great parallel in this passage to the church. She certainly had her share of ups and downs. There have been times of great revivals and great spiritual awakenings, and times of rejection and apostasy. It is increasingly apparent that the church has lost much of her zeal for the Lord. Fact is, we need revival among God's people. As dark as these days are today, we too have that same constant in our lives. The love of Christ for His church. Just as God tenderly pleaded with His chosen people, Christ is pleading with the church today. I want to examine the certainties we're in the text, and preach on the thought, a compassionate call to promised people. So with that said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, and we're talking about the prophet Jeremiah. Verse 2 says, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, and the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, and a land that was not own. Notice Jeremiah was instructed to cry into the ears of Jerusalem. The Lord Himself had sent a message to His people. As God declares His remembrance, it brings to mind the position Israel once enjoyed. I believe the Spirit is sounding a call to remembrance to us today. The people were challenged to remember. And I think our problem today in the Lord's local churches, our memory's bad. We have forgotten the blessings of God. Notice what he says in verse 2, the first part. There's a call to remember their love. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. The Lord remembered the love Israel once had for Him. He remembered the zeal and devotion they possessed. There had been a time when Israel sought the Lord with all their heart. They worshiped and praised Him for all of His wonderful works and for providing their deliverance. But somehow, in their day-to-day living, they had forgotten that love. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that we're no different. Somehow, I believe the Lord's church has forgotten our love for Him. Notice the Lord is wanting us to remember the love we once had for Him. he brings this to our attention in Revelation 2:4. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." This speaks, of course, first in rank, influence, and honor. The idea of leaving speaks of an intentional, conscientious act. You see, the church, just like the nation of Israel back then, intentionally left their first love, which is Christ, God. Can we honestly say we love Him with the same fervor we once did? Ask yourself that question. Is He the desire of our hearts as when we were first saved? Remember when the Lord first saved you? Remember the zeal you had for wanting to please Him? Why? Because you loved Him. Because of what He did for you. But is that zeal gone today? Is Jesus the priority in our lives? Or has He been shifted to a place of less prominence? Let us remember our love for Him. He also calls them to remember their loyalty. Look at the last part of verse 2. "When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, and a land that was not sown." God remembered a time when Israel followed Him as they journeyed in the wilderness. He was their guide and their provision. Their loyalty was evident by the lives they lived. They were happy to assemble at the tabernacle and live according to His word. There was nothing burdensome about their service unto the Lord. Exodus 24:7 says, "And He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they all said, 'All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient.'" Church today struggles doing all that the Lord says and being obedient today. Is there a time in your life when serving the Lord was a blessing rather than a burden? Think about that, beloved. Can you remember serving the Lord? And you did it because you wanted to. You didn't feel like you had to. You didn't feel like it was a burden. You remember those times when you were excited about coming to the house of God and having the opportunity to be of service to Him? Think about that for a second, beloved. You're happy to come to the house of God. During this pandemic, we've been shut down. We've not been able to assemble. And I know a lot of us in this body love the Lord. And we can't wait till we get the okay so that we can come back and worship the Lord. Beloved, there's probably some that are enjoying this, not having to get up and come to church. God forgive you. God help us to have a zeal. Come to the house of God. Serve Him. You see, He wants us to remember those times of joy in serving Him. He wants us to remember the vows that we said to Him when He saved us. "Lord, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to serve You from now on every day of my life." You see, the church needs to rekindle her desire and commitment to Him. "I've not regretted one day of my salvation, and neither have you," right? I was to ask you. No, I'm so thankful that He would save someone even like me. But listen, "But I've not lived each day as if I truly believe that." What about you? Notice, call to remembrance their light. Verse 3. "Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of His increase, and all that devour Him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord." Think about this. There was a day when Israel stood tall among all the other nations. She was recognized as the people of God. On many occasions, the enemy proclaimed the divine presence of God among his people. Israel has been a great light in the dark. Israel had been a great light in the dark world. The Lord remembered the days when his glory was revealed through his people. I wonder today, as a church, are we a great light in the world? How about as a nation? America, at one time, everybody knew that God was over America. But today, it's just the opposite. In fact, we sent more missionaries, begin with, out into the world to spread the gospel than any other nation in the world. Understand, today, nations of the world are sending missionaries to America. Think about that, beloved. Something is wrong. We need to remember the light God has given us as a nation and as his church. It do us all good to be reminded of the light and influence of the church that we once had. I know we can't live in the past, but it ought to challenge us to regain what we once had and lost. We must ensure that our light shines brightly in this world. We can live a life that would make others want to desire what we have. You see, we have the glorious privilege of representing the King of Glory. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. See, what bothers me is if we don't possess more than what the average Christian or church member reveals, we don't have much, do we? God help us. Next thing that I want us to take a look at is not only a call of remembrance, but a call of recognition. God not only wanted them to remember, but to be reminded of who he was. It would do us good to contemplate the Lord as well. We need to recognize the greatness of our God. Look at verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain, useless, emptiness?" You see, God was asking what charges could be laid against his holiness. What iniquity? The word iniquity means injustice, unrighteousness, or wrong had ever been found in him. What about the divine nature of God would cause men to stray into sin? Think about that. Do you realize the holiness of God that we serve? He's perfect and pure in every way. Moses said in Exodus 15:11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Isaiah heard the seraphim cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Book of Revelation, the four beasts around the throne rest not day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and is to come." There will never come a day when you find anything but absolute holiness in the Lord. He is worthy of our worship and our praise, beloved. Understand, you will find no iniquity in him. And he don't make mistakes. Praise God. Notice also, he wants us to recognize his faithfulness. Look at verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. Notice, there are no grounds to lay any charges whatsoever against the faithfulness of God. He'd been faithful to bring them out of bondage, leading them through a dry and barren land, providing manna each day and water from the rock. He brought them into a land possessed by giants, driving them out and securing their borders. Israel had certainly witnessed the faithfulness of God. Can you remember the faithfulness of God in your life? You see, we've experienced the same faithfulness children of Israel experienced. How do I know? Well, has he not met your needs? Didn't say wants, but your needs. We have plenty to eat. We got a roof over our head, place to sleep. We have the ability as a church to worship God. God has certainly been faithful to me and you. So we're called to recognize his faithfulness. Not only that, look at the first part of verse 7. How about recalling his goodness? And I brought you into I have brought you into a plentiful country. Think about that. To eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. God not only brought them out and met their needs, he also gave them the best available. There's no question God was good to Israel. There wasn't one who could deny God's goodness. Lord surely has been good to you and me. We all have difficulties in life, but God's been good. It's good to be able to meet together with those of like faith, although during this pandemic we've not been able to really do that. But think about all the times and opportunities we've had before this pandemic, this coronavirus. Again, we're blessed for his goodness. We could be in a country where few believed and face persecution for our faith. God's goodness ought to cause us to worship him. I'll ask you a question. Has he not been good to us today? Most certainly, he has. Verse 8. Priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. Pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. And I'm going to stop right there, and we'll get back to that in a minute. Jump down to verse 9. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Notice the Lord realized that Israel had come short and even denied him his glory he deserved. And yet he sought them out. He was still pleading for them to come unto him. His long suffering would even be extended to future generations. And I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful for God's long suffering. Amen. God would have been just to have just left me in my sin to die and go to hell. But because of his long suffering, he came by time after time after time through the Holy Spirit and his word to speak to my heart and soul. There's times I'm so thankful that he just didn't leave me to let me die in my sins. And wander in my sin and failure. But thank God he's long-suffering. Aren't you glad he loves us so much to give us not what we deserve? That's grace, beloved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We serve a God who is merciful and patient towards sinful men. If you're under the sound of my voice, God loves you. And he's patiently waiting for you to come to him and receive his Son into your heart as your Savior. And then finally, there was a call to repentance. You know, God loves us too much to leave us in our sin, huh? He addressed three areas that needed repentance. Again, notice they had defiled their inheritance. When you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Verse 8, the priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. And walked after things that do not profit. He had brought them into an abundant land and blessed them with his presence, and yet people rejected the Lord. They defiled the land as well as the temple. The priests had defiled the office of handling the word. The pastors had led the people into apostasy. The prophets had prophesied a false message under the influence of Baal. All the beauty Israel enjoyed was now tainted by sinful defilement. Let me ask you a question today. What have we done with God's heritage? As preachers today, have we forsaken God by not preaching his word? Have we forsaken God by not warning coming judgment? Have we forsaken the Lord by not encouraging his people to come to church? Have we forsaken the Lord by not sharing the truth? See, are we carrying out the commission God's given? Are we living for God as those before us did? Is he pleased with what he sees and as he looks upon our church and our lives? I don't know about you, but I don't want to bring reproach upon my blessed Lord. You see, again, we need to remember our inheritance. Not only that, the call of repentance because they had distorted their testimony. Look at verses 10 and 11. Pass over into the Isles of Chittim and see. By the way, the Isles of Chittim is Cyprus. And see and send unto Kedar, which was Arab lands, and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Again, notice, they were instructed to consider those around them. They were to look to Cyprus, look to Arab lands from east to the west. Had the heathen nations abandoned their gods? No. Yet Israel had abandoned the only true and living God. The testimony Israel once held for the Lord had vanished due to their sinful ways and unbelief, beloved. Does our light shine as brightly as it once did? Are we a good representation of the Lord God we serve? You know, it's amazing to me that Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses are adamant about their religion. And that's exactly what it is. It's a false religion. And many times, we who have the truth are so careless about our relationship with God. And America, especially in this area, has been blessed of God. We live in what is known as a Christian nation. But it seems as if our nation has forsaken the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to have a respectable testimony among those who are watching my life. How about you? You should want that. You should want that. Finally, notice they needed to repent because they had departed from the truth. Look at verse 13. Again, as I open, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hold them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Israel had abandoned God and His truth for their lusts that would profit nothing and end in loss. You see, they had rejected the living fountain for broken cisterns. Those holes, again, as I said, dug in the earth to catch rainwater and runoff. Many in our day have rejected the truth of God for the runoff of the world. Amen? It's a fact. They seem to be more interested in what the world can provide. Beloved, the world's only going to provide to you a stagnant drink rather than refreshing, living water. Think about that. This world has nothing to offer. We need to build our lives and our church upon the living water of God's truth. There's no reason to settle for what this world offers when we can have God's best. Think about that. Why do we settle for so much less when God gives us, as His children, the very best? Again, there's a call to repent. And I'll go ahead and say it. As a nation, we need to repent. But also as a church, as God's chosen people in His local New Testament church. When I say chosen, I'm talking about He chose to save us and give us a church to worship and serve Him in, and to encourage one another as we journey in this life. We're blessed. Let me close by asking you a question. And only you can answer this, and this is between you and the Lord. Don't worry about what Pastor John's going to think. But answer me this. Was there a time in your life when you walked closer to the Lord than you do today? Think about that. Was there a time in your life when you walked closer to the Lord than you do today? If there was that time, then you need to make things right with the Lord and repent. Do our lives represent the Savior we serve? Only you can answer that. See, He continues to offer compassion to us that are His promised people. And of course, I would not want to leave maybe you that are out there that don't know the Savior. I want to call you to repentance. And what I mean by that is I want to remind you that there's a God in heaven that loves you. He proved it when He sent His Son to die on the cross. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, in fact, I'm going to turn over there so I don't misquote it. I don't think I will, but I just want to turn over there to quote it. Most of you know what it is. It's verse 21. It says, "For He's made Him to be sin for us," talking about Jesus, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Sinner friend, listen to me just for a moment. What that verse is talking about, what the Apostle Paul is saying there, is that Jesus literally became a sin offering for you and me. You see, all of our sins and all of our guilt for those sins was placed upon Jesus Christ, and He took it upon Himself, and He died in our place to pay that penalty so that we could be declared righteous before God through Him. You see, sinner friend, Jesus died on the cross for you and I. You see, the wages of sin's death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, if you're under the sound of my voice and you've yet to ask Jesus to save you, my prayer is you'll do that. Child of God, search your heart. Where are you in your relationship with Christ? How are you serving God today? Are there areas in your life that you got to work on? I encourage you, bow your head and ask the Lord for help. He's there. Tell Him, "Lord, my love for You isn't what it once was. Please rekindle that love. Lord, I'm not serving You with the zeal I once had. Give me that desire again." He'll give it to you. Let's pray. Father, as we come to the close of the Word, I pray that Your Word has reached its intended purposes and You've spoken to hearts. I know You spoke to me as I was studying. Lord, I know that we can all improve in our service to You. And Lord, if this pandemic's shown me anything, it's shown me not to take things for granted. Oh, we've been so blessed before this virus came upon the world. We were able to come and go to church. And Lord, for the time being, it's been taken away from us. Oh, Lord, forgive us for taking the blessing of going to church for granted. But Lord, may we use this time. May we redeem the time as You say in Your Word, and to reflect on where we are in our walk with You. And again, as the Scripture says, Israel is our example. We don't want to wind up like Israel, have to be chastised, Lord. Father, there's one under the sound of my voice, you know who they are, that doesn't know if they're saved or not, or they know for a fact they're not saved. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit convince them of that need right here and right now before it's too late. Let them call upon the blessed and holy name of Jesus and ask Him to save them. Father, just let Your people be encouraged today, knowing that You love us, You're long-suffering. We can always call upon You, Lord, anytime. help us draw close to you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my prayer for you today is, again, draw close to the Lord, examine your heart. If there's areas in your life that need to be worked upon, ask the Lord for the help. He'll give it to you. Above all, if you're here and you're not saved, my heart's desire is that you'll call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Let me just say one other thing. Continue. I appreciate members here at Lone Mountain sending your tithes into the church. Some of you are doing it by mail. Others are doing it on the website. I appreciate that. But let me continue to tell you, keep doing it. Even though we're not in church capacity, we still, as a church, have bills to pay, missionaries to support. So keep sending them in. Again, God bless you. Hopefully it won't be as long as it has been. We're still waiting for the go-ahead to be able to come to church. But I know that I'm looking forward to the time we're able to get back. All right? Lord, watch over you and protect you. Till we meet again, see you. God bless.